A hostess poured a cup of tea for a middle-aged man at her party, and she asked him if he took sugar. No, he said. Yes, he does, his wife brightly said at the same moment. Then she turned accusingly to her husband and said, but I always put sugar in your tea. I know, the man replied. I used to remind you not to, but now I just don't stir. You know, as we have been looking at this series on marriage and family and beginning that, we realize that it isn't always easy to figure out all of these marriage roles. And if we think that it's just normal or natural, when we are young and contemplating marriage and we can't see that there'd be anything negative about it, we do soon wake up to the fact that we are two different people and we now have been committed to each other for life to live together as husband and wife, which, by the way, is not a 6 day a week or you don't get a day off. It's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Today we're talking about the heart that makes a home. 2 weeks ago we spoke to the husbands about leading and loving. And as we looked at that, we saw that a husband's role was that of being the head of the home, and his responsibility was that of loving. And so we looked at the key part of us as husbands. And you know what? If you were here, you will remember me saying that I cannot remember the exact words, but they were along the lines of, I didn't enjoy that sermon. Because it spoke so much to me in the things in which I, as a husband, was going through. I didn't enjoy preparing this one anymore that I'm doing today. Because I'm speaking to women today. And there will be no shaking hands afterwards. I will be leaving through this door. But as I looked at this, I want to really understand what the scriptures say, and I also want the insight of women. And so a lot of my study was reading what women had to say and even talking to a few of you about this whole topic of the heart that makes a home, which is in the role of our wives, that of being the helper, and the responsibility of submitting. You know, you wonder, if you've ever been to read or been to any of Gary Smalley's marriage retreats, he uses the imagery of animals in order to demonstrate personalities. And there's two personalities that are at total opposite ends. One is the lion. The lion likes to take charge, be an authority. But the other one is the golden retriever. It's a very soft-hearted puppy that wants peace, doesn't want conflict, but that bites if you corner them. Well, the lion is looking for someone who will do what he says, and the golden retriever is looking for someone to tell him what to do. So the golden retriever and the lion get married, and what do you have? You have some pretty royal opportunities for conflict. And then God comes in with his scriptures and says, you know what, this lion and this golden retriever, they need to learn these roles. And I still say the husband is to lead and love, and the wife to be the helper and submit. God knows that mix. And I guess with that, I'm introducing what I'm saying today to say that you're not going to find all your answers, and neither could I find all your answers, because each one of you as a couple is unique. And your job, your work, your ministry is to figure out where you are in this mix and to make it work according to God's plan. Our personalities do not negate the Word of God, but our personalities do impact how we will live out God's Word in our lives and specifically in our marriages. John Piper, in his book, Husbands Who Love Like Christ and the Wives Who Submit to Them, he says this. He says, when sin entered the world, it ruined the harmony of marriage, not because it brought headship and submission into existence, but because it twisted man's humble, loving leadership into hostile domination in some men and lazy indifference in others. And it twisted a woman's intelligent, willing submission into manipulative submission, even that fawning submission in some women and brazen insubordination in others. Sin didn't create headship and submission. It ruined them, and it distorted them. It made them ugly and destructive. How true that is. And you know, we as believers, we're not immune to that distortion. As we look at the role, the responsibility of wives in marriages today, we do need to connect it. And you will find me going back to the previous one. But I want to start out to say that women, wives, your role and your responsibility, they are just as crucial to the success of your marriage, to the success of your home, as ours as husbands is. They're just as crucial in order to bring success into a marriage. I want to read another story. The ladies' Bible study night had been so energized in all of their 10 years meeting together, and when they invited the guest speaker to lead a study on the role of the wife, they had no idea how controversial it would become. After the lecturer was introduced, she quietly stepped to the microphone and uttered a single statement for her opening remark. The wife's job is to help the husband. That's all she said. Then she asked the women to gather in small groups and share their responses to that statement. She would give her speech afterward. The room was quiet and orderly as they began. One by one, the women went around their respective circles sharing their opinions. And as they did, a low din began to fill the room. Gradually, it swelled to a controlled racket and finally bedlam. Most abuse begins with that same type of thinking, threatened one woman. But it says right here that Sarah obeyed Abram without a word, said another, attempting to repeat a point from a recent Sunday school lesson. God never intended for the woman to be lorded over, someone exclaimed. Sure, the wife should help, but the husband should help too, said another. All over the room, the responses formed a swell of diverse opinions and strong emotions. Some suggested that the statement could be found in the Bible. Others said it was first century philosophy. There was no sign of agreement anywhere in the room. Through it all, the speaker sat quietly in the front of the room and smiled as the group passionately demonstrated her first point. The role of the wife is unclear today, even among Christian women. And so how do we dare pick up on that? We can't avoid it. We can't. Well, wouldn't you say that in our culture today, in our Canadian culture, even in our own church, and even in our own families, our brothers and sisters, that it is a hot topic? Genesis chapter 2, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Helper. Helper is one who supplies strength in the area that is lacking in the helped. That term does not imply that the helper is either stronger or weaker than the one that is being helped. It has that sense of fit for him or matching him, but it's not the same as like him. A wife is not her husband's clone, but complements him. Another commentary I read said that a help means a counterpart of himself, one formed from him, a perfect resemblance of his person. And yet, if translated literally, it would signify one like him or as himself, standing opposite to, possessing neither inferiority nor superiority, but being in all things like and equal to himself. There's a lot of stuff in there. But I think one of the things that we need to underline right at the start is that we're not questioning the equality of men and women. We're not questioning whether the being made in the image of God in equalness. It's there. We're not talking about inferiority or superiority. But we're talking about that fit for him or being helped. And that word help, if you type that into your dictionary, in your Bible dictionary, you will find that that same word is used many, many times of God being our helper. Someone who comes alongside, someone who fits, someone who completes. Florence Latour says, "You women may not like the fact that God made us to be helpmates for our men, but that's what God says, and he means business." We have to ask ourselves, am I really of a help to my husband, or would he be better off without me? That idea of being a helper is one of such, actually, an incredible blessing if you look at it that way, because two are better than one. When you grab something that's heavy and someone else comes along and grabs the other end, it makes it lighter. And so we see here a partnership, a working together, a teamness of husband and wife working together. She coming alongside to help him. That's what was missing. If we go to Genesis chapter 2, that's what's missing. God had looked through the entire animal kingdom for a helper suitable, and he couldn't find it. And so he created woman to be that helper suitable for her husband. For us as husbands, you know, I want us to think back to a couple of weeks ago. Because one of the statements that I made is that the husband is to be the head of the household, and that means that I need to care for every need that is experienced by my wife and children. I, as a husband, need to care for every need that is experienced by my wife and children. If I seek a servant instead of a wife, it'll never work. It'll never work. And yet we see that sin has done that. Where's that sense of servanthood or of having a servant? Husbands, we represent Jesus in the home. Our role is to bring God's glory to our wives, to lift them up, to care for them, in their well-being. And that allows this whole cycle to mesh of us being able to find our place together as husband and wife. Wives, your role as a helper is incredibly important to your husband. It is crucial to your husband. So much so that your support can mean the difference between success or failure for your husband. It can mean the difference between success or failure. And I'd like to say, first of all and above all, as being a man in his personhood. But it spills out beyond that. And that success or failure goes into his business, into his ministry. You are key. Your role is crucial. Submitting the responsibility of a wife. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24, it says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." You know, it's interesting that Paul would write this. Because if you think of it, he's saying, "Wives, submit to your husbands in the Lord, as to the Lord." And yet in Paul's day, the husband, the man was the head of his family, the head of the slaves, the head of his sons, the head of the women in his household. He was the head of the slave until they were freed. He was the head of the male children until they became of age. But women and girls, no matter where they were in society, lived their entire life under the headship of a man. So what's he saying? Why does he say that if it's already true in the society they are in? Jill Briscoe, she says this. She says, "So why did Paul tell wives to submit to husbands when they were in submission already? The clue is in the grammar. The verb submit is in the middle voice. Literally, it means place yourself in submission. Sit down on the inside as well as the outside. You've been sitting down on the outside because you had no choice. Now we give you this voluntary choice, this act of will rather than this legal requirement." Paul was after a heart attitude, a spirit of humility by choice, not coercion. Paul is pro-choice where women are concerned. The choice to lay down our lives for our brothers, sisters, husbands, and children because we have laid it down for Christ. Richard Foster says, Jill writes, that Paul made decision makers out of those who were forbidden to make decisions. What an incredible opportunity for the Christian wife in Paul times. The letter to the Ephesians elevates the concepts. You see, there's no way to try to redefine submission. The word is a pretty black and white word. Submission, you can look it up in any dictionary, and it may use different words, but basically it means for one to be under the other. It is a subordinating our rights to someone else's. In marriage, it is for a wife, it means willingly following her husband's leadership. That conjures up a lot of different images, doesn't it? And not all of them good. But there's an image that I like, that's of an orchestra. You see, when it says that we need to be under the other, it's talking about leadership. It's talking about leadership, because there has to be leadership in any organization. Otherwise, there's chaos. And in the organization and community of the home, there has to be leadership. Victor Lee Austin, he uses the analogy of an orchestra, and I want to read that, because he explains, he uses that to explain why we need human authority. He says, orchestras need conductors because the musicians don't have a single right to answers to questions like, what should we play at the concert? Or what should we practice today? Or how should we interpret this passage? Each musician might have a perfectly reasonable opinion, but their opinions will inevitably be different and will almost always be incompatible with one another. And it's no good for each musician to do what is right in his or her own ears. It won't do for the brass section to insist on playing one musical piece if the strings have chosen to play a completely different piece. If the orchestra is to perform coherently, if the musicians want to perform music rather than just make noise, somebody has to have authority to decide. By submitting to the authority of a conductor, individual musicians attain musical expression they would never realize individually or even as a collection of freewheeling players. Authority is necessary for classical musicians to bring musical fulfillment to others. In the words of Victor Lee Austin, the conductor's authority yields a greater degree of human flourishing than we would have from the musician separately or individually. What is true for orchestras is true for human life in general. Isn't that true? You see, we do struggle with coming under someone else's authority. We struggle with being told what to do, with someone giving direction, especially if it's not the piece, the song, that we would like to play. Then we want to quit the orchestra, quit the band. If we look at this in the context of marriage, can you see how the, as he says, a greater degree of human flourishing than we would have from musicians separately or individually? When young couples come to us before they get married and we go through those premarital sessions, one of the things we say is that together as male and female, together as husband and wife, we have a greater expression of what God is like. Now, if you think of that, together as husband and wife, if someone were to look at us as a couple and see what God is like in community of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, what would they say God is like? Jesus lived under perfect submission and authority to his Father. And it gives a beautiful picture and a community that works well. What would be the description of our marriages? Wives, how would your husband describe your attitude of submission towards him throughout your marriage? How would he describe your attitude of submission? Would that have changed over the years? We live in a real world, don't we? We live in a very real world. In this real world, we are not perfect. We are sinners. And our spouse is a sinner saved by grace, hopefully. But still, We are human. And so what if you as a wife are sitting here today and you're saying, you know what? My husband's understanding of submission is not like this at all. Well, let me start before I even go into this by saying, if your husband, if his definition of submission is not the biblical sense of submission, be very, very careful. Submission does not mean being a doormat. Submission does not mean that you have to submit to abuse of any form. Abuse in the home by us as husbands is always wrong. If it's psychological, if it's emotional, if it's physical, it's wrong. That's why that God spends more time in the scriptures giving us the instructions as men to be leading and loving in our homes. We need to go back to those verses. Look at what it says, submitting as to the Lord, as the church submits to Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And then just in case we as husbands take that and abuse it, he says, husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. Marlon Vissen, battered into submission, says this. He says, they are legion, these victims. One out of every three women who seeks emergency medical treatment at a doctor's office or hospital is the victim of domestic violence. And so is one out of every four women seeking prenatal care. Constance Duran, a Christian psychologist, says that typically the violence pattern begins with a wife's first pregnancy and is really directed toward the fetus. There's going to be another sibling in the family, and the husband is jealous. For women between the ages of 15 and 44, domestic violence is the most common cause of injury, and 50% of all female murder victims have been murdered by either their husband or a boyfriend. And folks, this doesn't just happen in non-church couples. We are not immune just because we are in a church. It happens in church-going families. I have to remind us, guys, of what we read last week by that statement by John Piper where he says, moreover, Christ does not lead the church as his daughter, but as his wife. He is preparing her to be a fellow heir, not a servant girl. Any kind of leadership that in the name of Christ-like headship tends to produce in a wife personal immaturity, spiritual weakness, or insecurity through excessive control or picky supervision, vision, or oppressive domination has missed the point of what Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 5. Christ does not create that of a wife. Abuse comes in many forms, and none of them are acceptable in a Christian home. None of them. But, here's the incredible dilemma for you as wives. What do you do in that context? Do you give conditional submission? I will submit if. You can't. You can't have conditional submission any more than the husband should show conditional love. We don't earn love, and we don't earn submission. It doesn't work. But boundaries are to be drawn in a loving manner. And because of the incredible turmoil of emotions that happens when there's abuse of any kind. Because it's so hard to think clearly and work your way through it, whether it's a husband or the wife, you do need to find help, to find your way through that. The help of a trusted counselor, a trusted friend, not the gossip picture, not a bunch of people who you tell about what your husband is doing. You see, 1 Peter is still there. And Peter is speaking in situations that may not be ideal. He says, "Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any one of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives." We live in a real world. And God's design we find in His Word. But when that's not happening in our homes, then we need to get help. We need to. You see, God's Word still stands. It doesn't change with all our circumstances. But there are ways in which we can bring the leading and the loving and the helping and the submitting into our marriages, even when there's, even in the picture and realm of imperfection. You know, submission is rarely a problem in homes where both partners have a strong relationship with Christ and where each is concerned for the well-being of the other. I love the way Donald and Robbie Joy talk about it in marriage partnership. They say, "One of the best things about our marriage is that neither of us has to be always right or always strong or always first or always smart. But between the two of us, we find that we can handle almost anything." You know, I wish we had time to go deeper in this, but we don't. But if you find yourself having questions, needing help, please don't hesitate to come talk to me later. You know, as we wrap this up, we have to remind ourselves, husbands, that we represent Jesus in our home. That our role is to bring out God's glory in our wives, to lift her up for her well-being. And when we have that, when we are that type of a leader in the home, that will leave our wife feeling special, valued, and loved. And they will respond to the helper and the submission. Wives, your place in the home is crucial. It is crucial. You can influence, you can, your relationship, your responding to your husband. You were created to be your husband's helper. Your support can mean the difference between success and failure for him. And remember that it's rarely a problem to submit when both parties, husbands and wives, have a strong relationship with Christ and where each is concerned for the well-being of the other. When those things are in our homes, can you see how the foundation becomes spiritual? Your relationship with God, your submission to God. If you cannot submit to God, you will struggle with submission in other areas as well, coming under that authority. Let's pray. Father, sin sure has ruined a lot for us. It has ruined the most intimate of relationships, the most special of all relationships, the one that should have been so fulfilling, that should have been glorious, bringing fulfillment and strength to the family, has become the battlefield. Oh Lord, and we're not immune to it as your children. Our sinful nature still rears its ugly head so often. And we become domineering husbands, dictators in our homes. And our wives become manipulative, seeking to get the upper hand in a different way. Lord, will you help us in our marriages? Will you help us as husbands and wives to follow your plan in Scripture? Lord, will you help us to do this so that our children will grow up within a proper perspective of leading, of loving, of helping, of submitting? We are the best example, Lord. And I pray that you will ignite in us such a passion, husbands and wives. Amen.